Lakuta Sichas Chelik Yud Parsha Miketz Sicha Aleph. Dubar Kama Pa'omim Shadarke Shal Rashi BePirushi Alotayr LeFarish Kol Dover Akosha Ubilti Muvim BePshuta Shal Mikra. We spoke already a number of times that it is Rashi's custom in the Pirush Alotayr that he explains anything that is difficult to understand in Pshuta Shal Mikra, in the simple understanding of the Psukim. He feels his obligation to explain everything that needs explaining. And those things which would seem to need more clarification and Rashi does not explain them. That this in itself means that Rashi feels that this is simply understood, can be self-understood, so much so that he doesn't have to explain them at all. Or, alternatively, it's possible that Rashi already explained something previously which already answers this question as well. According to this, we have to understand something which is very, very difficult to understand, which comes up in learning the simple meaning of the psukim in our parsha. The kamim and mefarshei Torah omdu aleha. A number of the other commentaries on the Torah did address this question. The dafke Rashi, Rosh haPashtonim. And it's Dafke Rashi, which is the primary commentator on the simple meaning of the Pesukim. Eina Meir Alzeh doesn't comment on this at all. But who, and that question is, Yosef Hare Yoda Gedel Avos Aviv Eilov. Yosef, of course, knew the great love that his father had for him. Ubameila, and therefore, Haven Gedel Tzar Aviv Evli Olav. He understood the great pain that his father was suffering in mourning over him. Why is it that for all those years he didn't notify his father that he was still alive? And this question is more specific to the parsha that we are in, Parsha Miketz. The parsha Vayesha Mesuper Sheviyos Yezel Mitzrayim Machru LeEved. In the previous parsha Vayesha, the story goes that that Yosef was brought to Mitzrayim and sold as a slave. And then ultimately he ended up in prison. It's obvious that he didn't have the opportunity at that time to notify his father that he was alive. He was under the control of others. But in the time period, which is discussed in the Parsha Miketz, Shanasa Mishnah LeMelech. Now that he's become the second to the king, the Harishus be Allah's Kolash Yirza, and he now has control to do whatever he wants. Now we have to understand why did he leave his father in such pain and mourning? Why didn't he notify him? Perhaps through caravans that traveled from Mitzrayim to Canaan. Send a message, or send a messenger yourself, that he is alive, and this way he would bring new life to his father, that he's the good news that Yosef was alive. It would seem that you could say that perhaps we could say that this question is answered by what Rashi says in the previous parsha, that the reason why Yaakov had to suffer the mourning of his son for 22 years, it was 22 years from when Yosef left Yaakov until Yaakov that went down to Mitzrayim keneged chav beishana, and they corresponded to the 22 years that Yaakov did not honor his parents, that he left to Lavan and he stayed away for 22 years until he came back. V'lachein. So perhaps Rashi had explained that already. So perhaps that's the reason that Yosef did not send a message to Yaakov before those 22 years were up. Because this punishment or whatever of Yaakov had to be for those 22 years, corresponding to the 22 years that Yaakov did not honor his parents by being with them. But this does not in any way explain the behavior of Yosef. Because number one, how would Yosef know that Hashem has in mind that it would be 22 years until Yosef would be reunited with Yaakov? Because Yaakov had not honored his parents for 22 years. And even if you say that he did know about it, somehow he knew what Hashem had in mind. So the second question is, perhaps he could have sent a message just to notify him that he's alive, he shouldn't worry, without telling him where he is at. Until the 22 years are up, and then he'll notify him where he is so they could be reunited. But until 22 years, they're not allowed to be reunited. And this way, Yosef could have still maintained that 22-year period of distance between the two of them, even though Yaakov would know at least that he's alive. Gimel, a third question. This is the main thing. This does not explain Yosef's approach to this. Even though it's true that Yaakov had this, that Hashem had decided that Yaakov would be punished in this way, that because he didn't have kibud avim for 20, he didn't conduct himself in the proper kibud avim for 22 years, this does not give Yosef permission to apply this punishment. It's not Yosef's thing to do, not to notify him that he's alive. The dugma lazeh, as a similar, just to borrow from another scenario, ein makim leimish hashvatim hayumatarim aygam muchuyavim limkiris Yosef. Nobody would say that the shvatim were permitted to sell Yosef, or even were forced, had to sell Yosef. Bishvil sheiskay machalomeisav yiskay einish Yaakov, because they knew that. That Yaakov had to be punished in this way. They knew that ultimately the dreams of Yosef, that the brothers would bow down to him, have to come fulfilled. So therefore, in order to set all those things in motion, the brothers had no choice but to sell Yosef. Nobody would say that. That's not the brothers' job to make sure that Yaakov gets punished and that his dreams come true. That's the Eibishter's job. They have to behave in a moral way. So in a similar way, how did it become Yosef's job to prevent his father from knowing that he was alive? So the question is back, why did Yosef not notify his father? So to understand this, we'll first explain the words of Rashi in Parsha V'yesha, V'adoshimbir, which need to be understood as well. Hatam lama loy gila kosh baruch liyakev sheyosef chai. The reason why Hashem did not notify, why didn't Hashem tell Yaakov that Yosef was alive? Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains in Vayesha, Lefi Sheichrimu Ashvatim Kilulu Es Mishi Yigala. The Shvatim put into excommunication. They declared an excommunication against, and they put a curse on anyone that would reveal the fact that Yosef was alive and that they had sold him. B'shitfu l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu imam, and they included Hashem into that excommunication and that curse. U'mamshich, and then Rashi continues, Avol Yitzchak haye yedeya shuchai. But Yitzchak knew that Yosef was alive. So why didn't he notify Yaakov? Because he said, Omar heicha galav HaKadosh Baruch Hu ineretz l'galus lei. How am I going to tell Yaakov if Hashem doesn't want to tell him? B'tzaruch lovin, so we have to understand about this Rashi. Mi nitvas val mi chal cheder maklolazum. Who was caught up in this excommunication? Who was included into this excommunication and curse? Ein lefadish, we can say sheichrimu v'kilu as kol mi sheyegalu liyakov, that the Shvatim put a curse and an excommunication on anyone in the entire world that would tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive. Why can't you say that? In other words, that it applies to anyone in the world that would reveal that to Yaakov. Why can't you say that? Because then we have to understand what the Rashi says in the second half of the Rashi. But Yitzchak, he did know. Omar, and he said, "Hey Chagala, how am I going to reveal it if Hashem doesn't want to reveal it?" The Kibin Shacherim Chalal Kol Echad VeEchad. Now we have to understand if the Cherim applies to everybody in the world, including Yitzchak, Haregam Yitzchak Gechlal Zeshle Legalus, then he wasn't permitted to reveal it because of the Cherim. So it wasn't that if Hashem doesn't want to tell him, then how am I going to tell him? He's not permitted to tell him because of the Cherim. Number two, Lama Hutzachul Shatav Zagash Baruch Hu Imoem. Why did they have to include Hashem into this Cherem? If the Cherem applies across, you know, the world, meaning across the entire reality, so then it includes Hashem anyway. So why does Rashi have to point out that they also included Hashem with them, as if that was over and above the normal Cherem that they apply to everybody else in the world? So therefore we have to say that the Cherem only applies to those people that were included into the Cherem, that participated in this scheme together. So anyone that would reveal doesn't mean anyone in the whole world, it means anyone that was there at the time that agreed to this Cherem, to this ban on telling Yaakov. And therefore, in other words, who does that include? It includes the Shvatim that sold Yosef. And therefore, they had to specifically bring Hashem into that agreement as well, because he wasn't one of the Shvatim that made the Cherem together. So then we have to understand something else. Number one, Lashonah Shel Rashi b'Hemshech Dvarav. Rashi's words when he, in the second half, Avol Yitzchok Amar Heicha Galav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Rotze Legalus Lo. Yitzchok said, "How can I reveal it to Yaakov if Hashem does not want to reveal it to him?" It's not that Hashem doesn't want to. Hashem is bound by the oath, by the Cherem and the Klola, that he's not able to. So it's not that he didn't want to. So why does Yitzchok use the term he doesn't want to? Humikan, so if so, Beis, we understand the second point. Lama nimna Yitzchak melegalus liYaakov mitam shagosh baruch hu megalaloi. According to this, why is it that Yitzchak did not tell Yaakov? Because Hashem doesn't want to. It doesn't tell him. Hare Hakadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol liyefshelu legalus. Yitzchak was very different than Hashem. Hashem was bound up by this cherem, and therefore he was unable to tell Yaakov. But that doesn't or shouldn't prevent Yitzchak from telling Yaakov. He's not part of a Cherem, and he's able to tell Yaakov. So why didn't he? He wasn't included in the Cherem. Gimel, Cherem ze lama. What do they need this Cherem for? Why didn't they just make, you know, nobody tell him, you won't tell him, I won't tell him, and that's it, make an agreement between you? What do you need a whole cherem with an excommunication? So also in regards to Hashem, what do they need to apply a cherem to Hashem? All they have to do is pray to Hashem, ask him, please don't tell him. And if they have the kind of control that they can apply a cherem, then they have the kind of they also have the access to be able to request, and then it'll be fulfilled as well. So what was the need for a cherem? Why did they have to make an oath or an excommunication, whatever you want to call it? Dalit, another thing. Lo matzina b'pshuto shel mikra or b'pirush Rashi. We don't find in the simple pshat of the pasuk, and also not in Rashi. Shashvartim heitiru esachedim kedim shidil Yaakov sheyesef chai. Nowhere does it say that before they actually went to notify Yaakov, finally after the whole story that Yaakov is alive, it doesn't say that they undid the cherem, they released everyone from the cherem in order to be able to tell Yaakov. But if it's such an integral part of the Pshuto Shel Mikra that they made this cherem and therefore nobody was able to tell him, it should also say that they undid the cherem, or there should be some allusion to the fact that they undid the cherem. Dalit. V'hine yesh mefarshim kavanas Rashi al derech ha-medesh tanchuma. Some explain what Rashi is trying to say based on the medesh tanchuma makah pirush Rashi, which is actually the source of what of this thing that Rashi is saying. The Isa Shom, it says there in medesh tanchuma, Amru nachrim beineim, they said, the Shvatim said, let us make a cherem amongst us, shleyagid echad mimenu liYaakov avinu, that none of us should tell Yaakov our father. What happened? Amalem Yehuda, so Yehuda said to them, Reuven ain't a kan. Reuven is not here. How is you going to get him on board? Oh, not that. Reuven is not there. So they were down to 9 people. And you can't make a cherem without a minyan. So how are you going to make a cherem if the Reuven is not here? Ma osu, so what did they do? Shitfu l'Akadosh Baruch Hu b'ayisei hacherem. They included Hashem into the cherem. Shliyagid l'avin, that he too should not tell their father. V'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'higid b'nei hacherem, and therefore also Hashem did not tell Yaakov because of the cherem that he was included into. So in other words, they included, as he says, a muvoarim. So therefore we understand. Mevarim, the Mefarshim explained. Sheshitfu l'Akadosh Baruch Hu ba'asiyas v'chalois hacherem aleihem, that they included Hashem into this oath which they took upon themselves. She'enem eskayim ela ba'asara, because it can only be done if there is a minyan that agreed to it. Ve'ein inyan klal l'zeh she'Akadosh Baruch Hu le'igalos hadavar. In other words, that the including the Eibishter into this cherem was really about they wanted to take it upon themselves, and you can't do it without a minyan. So they adjoined Hashem to the minyan. Now there's 10, but not so much that they didn't. They made it incumbent upon Hashem not to reveal it to Yaakov. And in the end, Hashem did not reveal it because he didn't want to go against their cherem. It's their cherem. It doesn't obligate him, but because he didn't want to treat their oath lightly, so therefore he also respected it and honored it. So based on this explanation, we understand. First of all, why they included Hashem into the cherem, which is one of the questions he asked before. And it also explains what Rashi says, that Hashem does not want to reveal. And Rashi doesn't say that Yitzchak said, since Hashem is sworn not to reveal, because Hashem was indeed not one of included into the cherem, that he is not permitted to reveal it. The only reason Hashem did not tell Yaakov is because he decided he wanted to respect it. Therefore Yitzchak said, if Hashem is respecting their cherem and he doesn't want to tell Yaakov, so then I also need to respect their cherem. But it wasn't that they included Hashem into the cherem itself, they just used them as a tenth for the minyan. So it sounds like a nice pshat, but you can't say that this is what Rashi means in the simple understanding of the thing, because noisaf alzeh shebepirush Rashi leinis parish mosay osu acherim. Because in addition to the fact that Rashi does not specify when they did the cherem, but adarabah, mistaba loymishoy osu dafke la'achar shechazar aleim Reuven, you would think that when did they make this? You would imagine that when did they make this agreement that nobody should tell Yaakov? It would be dafka when Reuven came back, and he did come back. And so they had already 10. Because of course they wanted to include Reuven into the oath that he too should not tell Yaakov. Reuven would not be included, because then becomes the question, if Reuven wasn't included, because he wasn't even there, why didn't Reuven tell Yaakov? So therefore, according to the simple understanding of it, we have to say that this oath was taken when Reuven was there. And therefore, they did have a minyan. So what did they need Hashem for? So therefore, the simple understanding of it doesn't lend itself to say that the only reason they included Hashem was just to make up the minyan. So that's first of all. But in addition to that, b'pshuto shel mikra, b'pirush Rashi, ein kol remesh, ein cheder miskayim ela ba'asara. Nowhere in the Chumash, nowhere in Rashi are we told that you can't take an oath and make an agreement without a minyan. And if this is the basis of bringing Hashem into the picture, so then Rashi should have pointed it out, that you can't make a minyan, you can't make a cheirim without a minyan. So therefore we must say, that what Rashi means, that they included Hashem with him, that means that Hashem was included into the obligations of the oath. In other words, that he can't tell Yaakov either. So therefore, all the questions come back. The questions about Yitzchak, why did he say that Hashem doesn't want to? Hashem was obligated. If Hashem was obligated, but Yitzchak was not obligated, why didn't he tell? And so on. Hey, v'hinei b'mefarshei Rashi hikshu oid. And the commentators on Rashi, they have other questions. Menayin la'shvatim shakash baruch hu maskim la'cherim. How did the shvatim know that Hashem agrees with them that he's not going to tell? And even if you're going to include a human being, you want to obligate him to do something, you have to get his agreement that he agrees to be obligated to do that. How could they include Hashem into this oath if they didn't have any indication from Hashem that he's going to honor it? And the commentators explain a number of reasons. There's a number of reasons why the Shvatim knew that Hashem would also not want to tell Yaakov, that Hashem would therefore agree with their Cherim. One reason, because they knew that Hashem needed Yaakov and therefore the whole family to end up in Mitzrayim because of the Bris Ben Absarim. So they understood that this was the method by which Yaakov would eventually end up by Yosef in Mitzrayim, and so this was part of the plan to get Yaakov to go to Mitzrayim, and therefore Hashem would not tell him that Yosef is alive until the time was right. Beis Kadesh Yonash Yaakov Neged Chod Beis Shana Shalekim Kibed Aveim. They also knew that Hashem had it in for Yaakov that he would have to be separated from Yosef for 22 years because of the other 22 years that Yaakov was separated from Yitzchak and Rivka. And therefore they knew that this was something that Hashem wanted to bring about, and therefore they understood that Hashem would also honor, not tell Yaakov. Number three, Kadesh Le'ekalel Yaakov is Bonob. He didn't want Yaakov, if Yaakov finds out that his sons sold their own brother, he would put a curse on them. And Hashem did not want Yaakov to put a curse on the brothers. And if Yaakov put a curse on his brothers, it would come out that the whole Jewish nation, which is all supposed to come from these 12 Shvatim, would cease. They wouldn't happen anymore. So therefore, they knew that he wouldn't allow something like that to happen, and therefore he's not going to tell Yaakov. Aval noisef ala koishi sheyeshna b'chol pirush b'fnei atzmai. But in addition to the questions that you could ask about each one of these reasons, like for instance, on the first, the Bris Ben Absarim, that Yaakov had to end up in Mitzrayim, are there no other ways that Yaakov could end up in Mitzrayim? And number two is who says that they knew that Yaakov had to have 22 years as part from Yosef, and so on. So in addition to the fact that each one of these answers has its problems, Ein lefarish ken kavanas Rashi. We can't say that this is really the what Rashi means to say here, because Rashi mamshich. Rashi continues there. Aval Yitzchok hayadei shu chai. Yitzchok knew that Yosef was alive. Amar heichagalo akadosh baruch hu enaretz legalos lo shu chai. How could I tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive if Hashem doesn't want to tell Yosef he's alive? Atam lama enakadosh baruch hu reitz legalos mefurish. And he, Rashi says clearly, what's the reason that Hashem did not want to tell Yaakov? That they put an oath on against anyone that would reveal, and they included Hashem with them. And therefore we have to say that this oath was not only, if you tell the whole story that we sold Yosef into slavery, then you're in trouble. But the other details, perhaps, you could tell. No, it had to include every detail. Nothing can be told to Yaakov. In other words, gamal mishi yigal sheYosef chai, that it included that nobody could tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive. Because you can imagine that maybe they didn't mind so much that Yaakov should find out in the end that Yosef was alive, as long as nobody tells them that they sold him. But from this it seems that no, they banned anyone from telling Yaakov any part of the story. The time mimhanal machrichim rakshagos baruch hu yigala kol hasipur advarim. Whereas these reasons that were given, the three reasons for bris ben absarim, the 22 years and so on, or that he would curse them, they only explain why nobody can tell Yaakov the entire story. Shashvatim machru la'oiches yishma'elim, that the shvatim sold him, and to whom? To a caravan of Arabs. Vayiridu l'mitzrayim, and that they went down to Mitzrayim. Aval efshar, perhaps you could say efshar legalus liYaakov sheYosef chai. It's possible that Yaakov should be told that Yosef is alive. Don't tell him where. Just don't tell him where, so that he won't be able to meet up with him for 22 years. Also, that until the time is right, he shouldn't know where he is. And so, let's say, perhaps bring Yosef to him. It had to be in a way that Yosef was the king and he couldn't leave, and therefore Yaakov had to go to him and end up in Mitzrayim. And that he shouldn't curse his sons, that was only necessary. So you don't tell him that they sold him. He ended up over there. We don't know how it happened. That he wouldn't be told the details until after 22 years. When there will be, the things that I said already, there will be years of hunger. And therefore Yosef became already the viceroy. V'yuchrach Yaakov later l'Mitzrayim, and therefore Yaakov will be forced to go to Mitzrayim. V'tziskayim. So therefore, if this were to happen, Yaakov could know that he's alive, but he doesn't know where he is till the end of the 22 years. And therefore, this will bring it will answer all of those problems. First of all, the bris ben absarim will be fulfilled. Yaakov has to go down to Mitzrayim. Number two, that Yaakov would be punished for the 22 years because he didn't know until now where Yosef was, even though he knew he was alive. And Gimel, he wouldn't put a curse on his sons. Why would he think that they sold him if he's not told that? So therefore, these answers that the Mefarshim give to explain this Rashi don't really work in the Pshutishol Mikra. And and the way Rashi explains it, that therefore it must be that the ban on telling Yaakov was he can't be told any part of it. He can't be told that Yosef is alive. He can't be told any part of it. But the question is why? So to explain that, we have to explain another question. How is it possible that for 22 years, not even one of Yaakov's sons, the Shvatim, the Tzadikim, was not awakened to tshuva al mechiras shel Yosef, that regret that they sold Yosef? the Yisvada v'Yisapel Yaakov, and they would be driven to admit and to confess to Yaakov that they sold Yosef Eidenochai and that he's still alive. For 22 years, nobody had any pangs of remorse, and therefore to admit and to confess what they did. Especially as we find in the parsha, in this week's parsha, shesof sof, that in the end, kulam ischartu alzeh, they all had remorse. As it says in the pasuk, they said to each other, but it's all our fault. Alachinu, because of our brother, asherinu tzaras nafshei, we saw the pain that we applied to him, bishanan elenu, when he begged us, and so on. So they all took responsibility. They all realized. So all only at the end of 22 years. Hello. So the answer is, this was indeed the intent of making this oath, and not just making an agreement between them. He asked earlier, what did they need to make an oath, a cheirim? Why not just say, okay, nobody tell him? I knew the reason was, they all knew and they all suspected and they knew what the end would be, that after some time goes by, when their anger would subside, for sure somebody is going to regret that they did such a terrible thing. They'll want to come clean to Yaakov. And therefore all the other ones would be held responsible because of the remorse of one person. Therefore they put an oath and a curse on anyone that will reveal it. In other words, that nobody has permission to tell Yaakov. But of course there's no reason to believe that if they all decided together, all 10 of them say, you know what, it's time to tell Yaakov, even then they shouldn't be able to tell him. Of course, that's not what they intended. Then they don't have permission because they took an oath. Of course, they meant that nobody has permission outside the collective agreement of all 10 to tell Yaakov, because they knew that somebody would eventually regret it. So that was the intent of the cheirim that they made. Which of course explains why at the end of the 22 years, when they finally did tell Yaakov, there was no need to undo the cheirim. Because the whole cheirim was only if that nobody, without the agreement of everybody else, but once they're all on board, of course they could tell him. But they still had the worry that what happens if one of them or a number of them will start pressuring all the others, it's time to tell them, and force them to agree. As Rashi says, Sha'amru Echov, that the brother said, they said to Yehuda, I believe, that it's your fault, because if you had told us, if you had convinced us, you could have convinced us to return him, to bring him back. In other words, that they knew that it's possible that one of them should influence the others to reveal it. Therefore, they also included Hashem into the Shechem. Haynu shachlotas hadover imu masa yegalu liyakov toli b'kadosh baruch hu. What they meant was that when is the time to tell Yaakov about it? Only when Hashem chooses that this is the right time. Nobody has permission to try to influence us if the time is not right and according with Hashem's plan. In accordance with Hashem's plan. And even if all of them together agree that they can't, that they should tell him now, they still can't violate the cheirim, unless they include and Hashem also agrees that it's time to tell him. But of course, it doesn't mean that they somehow have the power to force Hashem not to agree with their cheirim and to not tell Yaakov. How could they impose their cheirim on Hashem? Because also, as he said before, how did they know that Hashem agrees with their cheirim, agrees not to be bound by their cheirim? So therefore, that cannot be the intent of that they included Hashem with them. They have no idea if Hashem wants to be included into this cheirim. What they meant by this was that none of us has the permission, and even all of us together don't have the permission to reveal it to Yaakov until there is an indication from Hashem himself that the time is right. And the reason that Hashem did not reveal it to Yaakov is what does that mean? That because they included Hashem, Mekiv and Shem Shitvu L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Lo Yigalu L'Yaakov L'Yaskam Masay V'Tzirufay. Since they decided and they included Hashem into the decision, meaning that they're not going to reveal it until Hashem is ready. L'chein im ha'yeshu b'achinim ach sh'asu lo yiskav n'sh L'Kadosh Baruch Hu asr l'galuz b'liyaskam masam. Even though it's true that in their cheirim that they made and that they included Hashem, it doesn't mean that Hashem is not permitted to reveal it to Yaakov, because who are they to impose that on Hashem? Who knows if he wants to be included? But out of his own free will, so to speak, Hashem agreed with them and joined them. He also, in the end, Hashem also said, okay, they're including me, that they're not going to reveal it until I'm ready, so therefore we're going to make this into a pact. We don't reveal to Yaakov until everybody is ready. Based on this, we can understand what Rashi says. Why didn't Hashem reveal it to Yaakov? But Yitzchak knew that he was alive. Omar, so he said, "Hey, so Yitzchak said, how can I tell him if Hashem doesn't want to tell him? Ki atam, so that now that can be understood. Ki atam shlegilu Hakadosh Baruch Hu liYaakov. The reason that Hashem did not tell Yaakov, it wasn't that Hashem was bound by the cheirim that he can't tell Yaakov, he's not permitted to tell Yaakov, because they didn't have the power to bind Hashem into their agreement without his agreement. It's only because Hashem decided out of his own free will that he will join them in this cheirim until everybody's ready to reveal. So therefore, from this, Yitzchak knowing all this, so he saw that Hashem also decided to join the cheirim. But Omar, so he said, how can I tell him if Hashem, out of his own free will, decided that it's the right thing to do not to reveal to him? So therefore, I will respect that as well, and I also will not reveal to them. And that's why Yitzchak, Rashi says that Yitzchak used the term he didn't want to. He wasn't bound by it, he just didn't want to. Well, Pisa Muvan, Gam Taimishal Yosef. This explains also the reason of Yosef. Now we go back to the question, why is it that Yosef didn't reveal to Yaakov that he was alive? Why didn't he send a messenger to tell him? Since Yosef was also privy to what Yitzchak knew and so on, so he also knew that the Eibishter doesn't want to reveal it. So from this he understood that by Hashem's decree or by Hashem's divine will, it wasn't time to tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive. Omar Gam Yosef. So therefore, Yosef said in a similar way to what Yitzchak said, "Hey Chagalav Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's legalus loy." He used the same reasoning as Yitzchak did. How could I tell him if Hashem doesn't want to tell it? Omnam Adayin Sarach Lahavin. We still have to understand. Al Yidei Achirim Asur Hayil Ashvatim Leidil LiYaakov SheYosef Chai. Since because of the Achirim, the Shvatim were not permitted to tell Yaakov. So since they had made a cherem, and all the Shvatim were bound by this cherem not to notify Yaakov that Yosef is alive, so how could they notify Yosef is alive? How do they know that that Hashem is already is ready? V'gam eich amalem Yosef leidia liYaakov shulchay. And since Yosef also knew all this, how did he say, "Go ahead and tell my father that that I'm alive"? Since at that point there was no indication yet that Hashem was ready to reveal it to Yaakov. In other words, how did they know that Hashem was ready now? But this too can be explained in Rashi, through Rashi. In this parsha, whereas Rashi says on the pasuk, Yaakov saw that there is food in Mitzrayim. Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains, Mahu Vayar, what is it that he saw? What did he see? Rav Baspaklaria Shel Kodesh, he saw with this a lens, of a holy lens, so to speak, Shadayin Yesh Shever B'Mitzrayim, that there is still food in Mitzrayim. What does it mean, Shever? That there is something there for him, to nourish him. He saw that there was something in Mitzrayim that he still, that will still give him some nachas. But it wasn't given clarity to see what exactly it is, to know that it was Yosef. He just saw that there was something there. But the Shvatim that did know that Yosef in Mitzrayim, Muvan Sheivinu Shereizu Reizu Beisvaklarish Shel Kodesh, but they understood, because they knew what Yaakov was seeing, since they knew that he had seen this kind of a vision. He explained to them, he told them that there is something there that will bring me some nourishment. He didn't know what it was, but they knew that Yosef was there, so they knew that since Hashem had already showed him this vision, so in other words, that they knew that Hashem had already began the process of showing Yaakov that there was something there, and that in the end that it's time to start searching and to researching, and that eventually they would find Yosef, and that they would be able to tell Yaakov. That's why when they went down to Mitzrayim, they went as the brothers of Yosef. They didn't go down as the sons of Yaakov. They were already at that time, they were in the mode of the brothers of Yosef. Already at that time, they were regretting the selling of him. And that they decided that they would conduct themselves in brotherly love with him, and that they would redeem him, that they would redeem him at any price that they would place on them, which is all what Rashi says about how the brothers went down. So therefore, they already knew that Hashem was ready to reveal to Yaakov, so therefore they knew that it was time to release the cherem. The same Yosef also became aware of this. This is how the brothers became aware of it. How did Yosef become aware of it? When he saw that the brothers were looking for him, he understood, why are they suddenly looking for me? That there's something going on. But since he didn't know with any certainty that it was time, and for the most part, he couldn't send the message at that time, because first of all, he didn't know that he wasn't certain that it was time. And if he jumps the gun before the Shvatim tell him, Yivka b'yachas Yaakov aleihem, then he would, of course, there would be hard feelings between Yaakov and them, because they didn't even tell him that Yosef was alive. It took Yosef to tell him. L'chein lo yediyah ba'atzmi liYaakov al-yedei shliach, and therefore, even at that time, he didn't send a shliach to Yaakov to tell him that he was alive. Ki imamal ha-shvatim, he told the shvatim, ani Yosef acheichem, I am Yosef, your brother. Ve'heim sha'asu asacherem, and they, who were the ones that initiated the cherem to begin with, they knew that when Hashem is ready to reveal to Yaakov, of course, they will say to Yaakov that Yaakov is alive, because now they knew that it was time. But Yosef wasn't able to, even at the last moments, the last year as this was going on, when they went back and forth and so on, Yosef still was uncertain and still wanted to make it, the Shvatim should be the one to tell him.